So prayer adjusts us to line up with the Father. That's pretty neat. I like the word communication because prayer, communicating with God, is getting the right answers and hearing what God has to say, getting close to Him. And it's much like our conversation with each other. If I have a conversation with my wife about what to pick up at Kroger's, there doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out thing. You know, honey, could you pick some bananas up where you're at Kroger's, okay? You know, those kind of conversations, different kinds of prayer. How many know we're going down the road and a deer runs out in front of us, we just cry out, Jesus. That's his form of prayer. We're not looking for any long, you know, what's your character like, Jesus? Just get me out of this mess. And so the important thing is that we pray. We must pray. I was asking the Lord what to share tonight. I got called to a meeting today, and I was asked to be on a leadership prayer committee for the city of Rochester. And so not that it's any more important. I think my most important role is just to pray as a servant of God, but pray for the city of Rochester and the vision for Rochester with about 8 other people that are called for this committee. And that's all we're going to do is pray. We're not really meeting to talk about anything city-wide. We're just crying out to God for the city. And so I said, God, I just need to take my prayer another level. I just want to hear what you're saying, because there's a bunch of us that know that something's up. Something's on the horizon. And if you're anything like me, I want to know what's coming. And God already tell me what he needs, what I need to know, but I want to have a clear vision of what it is. And prayer can be either a very comforting thing or it can be a carrot on a stick. If we just pray perfunctory prayers, and we just pray once in a while, just cry out to God, and we just want quick answers to quick prayers, the deer and the thing, and the bless me and bless my dog, cat, my wife, and good night, that's all we're going to get from God. Now, he's going to let us know that everything's all right. The dog, the cat's going to be alive. He's going to take care of your wife. But there's a intimacy in prayer that God desires. And I'll use what my brother Tom used in Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn there. Matthew 6. You know, the Bible contains 375 references to prayer. I'd say it's pretty important. Somebody shared about the life of Christ and how he was a man of prayer, sometimes spending all night in prayer, going away to pray. And he shared with his disciples when queried about praying. There was a place, I think, in Luke that they said, teach us how to pray. And both Matthew and Luke share the same thing. Matthew chapter 6, he said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in his secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So it's interesting that Christ, when he's talking about prayer, talks about what not to do, not what to do. Do you notice that? It says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Don't pray just out loud and so everybody can see you and say, well, man, that's a man or woman of God. It says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in the secret place. So he does give instruction there. And then the third, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And sometimes we want to pray and get quick answers. How many know God intentionally doesn't give us a quick answer, so we pray more? How many are aware of that? Did you find that out about God? The more intense our prayers, the longer it seems there's an answer. Why? Because God loves that intensity. Because all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength is seeking His face. He says, man, I like this. I'm going to wait to give a return. Because I want more of that. He desires intimacy, yeah. Well, the Lord's Prayer is a design. It's not a, we don't pray the Lord's Prayer. A lot of denominations pray. It's a, what word am I looking for? It's a blueprint. It's a pattern. It's a blueprint to pray. He never intended for us to repeat that. I repeated that every Sunday when I was growing up in a Methodist church. We prayed that every beginning of service. How many were raised Methodists? You know what I'm talking about. You're in your church as well? A lot of that. So that's a good question, but that's a pattern of prayer. So it's interesting that the Lord uses when, not if. If you pray, Christ said, if you pray, do this. No, he said when you pray. So it's a given. When you pray, prayer becomes a practice. Public prayers are very important. I love to pray with other individuals. And when I was praying about being on this city council of prayer, I said, yeah, it would be neat to pray with some of the folks who are going to be on there because there's movers and shakers that I'm going to be praying with. But that's not important. It's individual praying is vital. It's vitally important that what I lay in groundwork before I ever get with these other ladies and gentlemen is very important when I'm hearing from God, so that when I pray publicly, it's God-driven prayer. Are you there? So when we get together publicly and we pray in a public place like this, we're praying something that God has asked us to pray. And I believe that formulates and it pushes forward the kingdom of God, not drawing attention to ourselves, but being spirit-led in our prayers. Because by the time we get to a public place to pray, how many know it's important that God gets His word out, not ours? So He says, when you pray, go into your room. Everyone must have a secret place that he goes into to pray. If you're anything like me, you get sloppy from time to time, it's time to shore that up. It's time to get back in that prayer closet. Time to take the shoes and the old, you know, the rakes and the shovels and move it out of that prayer closet and get in there and get on your face and cry out to God. God hides from the public place so much because a lot of people, there's a couple of times in the Word that Jesus said, I have much to tell you, but you're not ready. And God will not publicize His will in a public place because not everybody can handle what He's about to do. Are you there? It doesn't mean He favors anybody. It just means those that seek Me with all their heart, the Word of God says, shall find Me. No, God abides in the secret place where He welcomes those who seek Him. He says, if you seek Me with all your heart, I'm there. I'll manifest Myself. That which is prayed in the secret place is worked out in the public place. What you pray in the secret place, He'll manifest. He said it so many ways, so many times. He said, what you hear in secret, shout it from the housetops. Because when we get an answer to prayer, when we're praying for people, when we're praying for areas, when we're praying for families, when we're praying for needs, once we hear the answer to prayer, we need to publicize that answer. That's a faith builder. And then he says, when you pray, do not repeat your words. As somebody said, pray from the heart. Everything begins and ends with prayer. That's why saying a systematic prayer every day, saying the same thing, that would be like having the same conversation with your spouse or with your friends. Can you imagine that? Just getting up in the morning and saying the same thing to your wife or your husband every day. Like have a little, you know, memorize the conversation you're going to have in the a.m., at noon, and at p.m. How many know we wouldn't have much of a relationship? So what makes us think when we pray the same thing every day to God that He's interested? He already knows what we're going to pray anyway. Somebody said at the beginning, prayer is more for us than it is for God. Prayer must be the pass key in the morning and the lock at night. We've got to practice the presence of God the first waking moment and the last waking time before the Lord. Somebody said, well, I don't like praying at night because I fall asleep while I'm praying. What better way to fall asleep? What better way to fall? Don't feel guilty about it. As you're praying and you slip off to sleep, that's the best way. That's the best way to go. Prayerlessness is without a doubt the ultimate sin one can commit. It's the one thing that we have. God says, all of heaven is open to you. All I ask is that you seek Me, that you ask Me, that you look for Me. As Ricky said, that you knock until you get the answer. The idea for prayer did not originate with us. It was a command from God. If you turn to Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, the first mention of prayer was in Genesis, of course, Genesis 27. And it says that, now therefore, restore, chapter 20, verse 7. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So God identified Abraham as a prophet. This was God's talking about Abraham praying. Abraham lied about his wife, said that she wasn't wife but sister. And God spoke to Abimelech and said, I'm going to have him pray for you and you shall live. Why didn't God just tell Abimelech, give her back and I'll let you live? Why didn't he just say that? Why didn't he just say, give the man's wife back to her, it wasn't your fault, and I'll let you live? What did he say? When he prays for you, I'll let you live. So we begin to see the gravity it is when we pray, God moves and hinges some outcomes on our prayer, on our prayers. The first mention of prayer shows us these four things. Number one, prayer was expected from man to God. God expected that man would take the place and intercede for other men. It would be really nice if God just went ahead and did what he was going to do. How many would enjoy that? Am I the only one? Don't let me hang. If just God, do what you are going to do, and I'll applaud it. Man, I'll be right there. Yay, God, go God. God says that he wants us to pray, and he reacts to that prayer. It's constantly amazing to me that the kingdom of God is carried on the backs of the priest, you and I. Our reaction and our subjecting ourselves to prayer, sometimes fasting and prayer. Jesus said, you want a demon to come out, some don't come out without much prayer and fasting. And I often say, God, just go ahead and do it. But it's expected that we pray. Secondly, prayer was seen as a way to speak to God about others. We so often are quick to have conversations about other people or other situations. If as many prayers were lifted to God as conversations about our politicians, they'd all be saved. They'd all be saved. But we critique, we point fingers, we do everything instead of crying out to God. Jesus said, pray for those who spitefully use you. I don't know of anybody that's more spitefully using us than some of the politicians in our country. But Jesus gave a solution, didn't he? He said, pray for them. Prayer was the way God moved in either blessing or destruction. God moved in blessing or destruction. Elijah was a man like you and me, prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. How many know? A lot of people suffered because of that. There was destruction because of that. But God moved on blessing or destruction. And fourthly, prayer was a responsibility from the very beginning. Turn to James chapter 5. Somebody else looked at that earlier, James 5 and 16. We just went through the book of James and touched on this some. I said the same thing then. James was given the name Old Camel Knees by the early church because he could be found on his knees praying more often than any other thing he did during his waking hours. You'd look for James, he'd be on his knees somewhere crying out to God. He was definitely a man of prayer. And here's what he says. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now you notice the adjectives he uses. Number one, the effective. It's a full circle. We hear from God what to pray by the Holy Spirit. We pray it. It goes back to God and the answer comes down. It originates with God and it ends with God. He just uses us in the mix. Anybody ever get that? You're seeking God. God already knows the answer to the prayer. He deposits it in us. We give it back to Him and He answers. That's a pretty neat way to do things. It's a fail-safe. But without our working that prayer, it's just not going to work. God just doesn't move without the benefit of us crying out. The effective fervent. Fervent means white hot. It means pointed. It means focused. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. How many righteous people do we have here tonight? See, that we don't have to worry about. We're righteous because of what? Because of what? The blood of Jesus Christ. We're righteous. And so that's already taken care of. The effective fervent prayer of us avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. James states that prayer is powerful. And the prayer he's talking about is deesis, D-E-E-S-I-S, D-triple-E-S-I-S, a particular form of prayer that is pointed and for particular needs, a stance of intercession before our Creator. It was the kind of petition brought before kings, and now is being spoken as a type of prayer brought before the Almighty King, which all are qualified to do. When we go before the King, we are qualified to do so, and He acts on those prayers, a particular form of prayer. You know, the fact is that we are children of God. We have every right to pray and ask God. You have not, Jesus said, because you ask not. I was in a particular situation a few years ago, got myself into a situation where I was where I wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't a bad place, but it was a place where I was spending money and all I needed to do was pray. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right in the middle of conversation of this official person I was sitting in front of. And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm trying to listen to this guy." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "What are you doing here? You never ask me." And I didn't think to ask him. I thought somebody official with a PhD in front of their name or at the end of their name or whatever would be able to take care of it. And he said, "You never ask me." And I asked him, and it was taken care of. A very dire situation. Anybody else been there? Come on. Anybody else had your prayer answered like that? He's so faithful. He's so faithful. He tells us to pray when you pray in Matthew 6. He tells us to pray. He would never tell us something that doesn't work. But the enemy works overtime all the time to stop us from praying. We have the energy to do everything. We mow the lawn, clean the car, wax everything, clean up, man, do the dishes and everything. We go to pray and we fall asleep. Come on. We get up in the morning, you know, we got to rush here, rush there, make the coffee, do this, do that. Get in the shower, go to work, work all day, but we never stop to pray. We've got the energy to do everything else, and when we start to pray, we get tired. Or how many have ever prayed, and all of these things come crashing in? Laundry list, phone list, this activity, that activity. Who do you think does that? But see, if you set a habit in your life, come on, if we set a habit in our life, we overcome. The enemy may still attack, but all we got to do is tell him to shut up because we've got this habit of being men and women of prayer. There is no power in the prayer itself, but it's activated by the all-powerful God. Prayer is able to accomplish much more than we first thought. It should accent on the impossible. Leonard Ravenhill gave this quote. "One might estimate the weight of the world, tell the size of the celestial city, count the stars of heaven, measure the speed of lightning, and tell the time of the rising and the setting of the sun. But you cannot estimate prayer power. Prayer is as vast as God because He is behind it. Prayer is as mighty as God because He has committed Himself to answer it." That's powerful. Prayer is a powerful, powerful weapon that we have. If we've prayed and fulfilled our role in prayer, God will fulfill His role in the provider. How important is faithfulness in prayer? Got a little story here. Dr. Wilbur Chapman often told of his experience when, as a young man, he went to become pastor of a church in Philadelphia. After his first sermon, an old gentleman said to him, "You're pretty young to be pastor of this church, but you preach the gospel and I'm going to help you all I can." Dr. Chapman thought, "Here's a crank. But the man continued, I'm going to pray for you that you may have the Holy Spirit's power upon you. Two others have covenanted to join with me in prayer for you. Dr. Chapman said, I didn't feel so bad when I learned he was going to pray for me. The three became 10, the 10 became 20, 20 became 50, 50 became 200, who meant before every service to pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me. I always went into my pulpit feeling that I would have the anointing in answer to the prayers of those who had faithfully prayed for me. It was a joy to preach. The result was that we received 1,100 into our church by conversion in 3 years. 600 of whom were men. It was the fruit of the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. If we just pray. If we just pray. We forget that we sometimes forget that we serve the Lord who is exceedingly abundantly able to answer all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Notice what that scripture says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. It's almost like a misprint. It's almost like you want to go back and you want to say, are you sure it's not the power that works in God? No, it's the power that works in us. God deposits the power to get the work done. Prayer is powerful because of the energy of the one who answers that prayer. Remember, we are petitioning the one that created the worlds. Our ability to communicate everything. He created this whole thing, set up this plan, and he works in the plan. If he says to pray, how many know he's going to use the vehicle of prayer? Now, if you've got a comfortable area in your prayer, this is just something for you to take notes and preach to somebody else. But if you're anything like most of us, we just need to ratchet up our time in prayer. It's not a works. It's an intimacy. That when we call on God, when it really counts, he answers. F.B. Meyer has a story. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, he was asked to address the first class passengers. At the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. An agnostic who was present at the service was asked by his friends, what do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon? He answered, I didn't believe a word of it. That afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the steerage passengers. Many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including the agnostic who claimed he just wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. Before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. On his way, he passed an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair fast asleep. Her hands were open. In the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of fruit. You seem to be enjoying that orange, he remarked with a smile. Yes, sir, she replied. My father provided it. Your father, surely your father can't be still alive. Praise God, she replied, he is very much alive. He said, what do you mean? And she said, I'll tell you, sir, I have been seasick for 2 days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. When I awoke, I found he had not only sent me one orange, but two. The agnostic was speechless. Later, he was converted to Christ. Yes, praying in God's will brings an answer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When I was asked to be on this committee for prayer, I was caught up short because I don't want to just fill a seat, say I'm going to pray and not pray. What an honor to be asked to pray because it gives us audience. It's an excuse to have another audience with the King. Isn't that neat? One more thing. I can't visit right now. I can't get on Facebook right now. I've got an audience with the King. I've got to petition the King. I got to put all this other stuff aside. And this has been known in the church for centuries upon centuries upon centuries how powerful prayer is. John of Antioch in the 4th century church, I quote, the potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the fates of heaven, assuaged diseases, dispelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. There is in it an all-sufficient Penelope, a treasure undiminished, a mine which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of a thousand blessings. What do you know? John of Antioch knew what it was to pray. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So it is that we need to spend the next few minutes in prayer, and I'm asking that we just wait on the Spirit of the Lord, and we don't need any music to get us primed. We just need to cry out to God for a little bit and allow the Spirit of God to do that. Download into us. We pray and watch how God begins to answer prayer. You may, as we pray, I'm just going to open up in prayer. You may want to pray something privately. Go ahead and do that. If you have a prayer need, pray out to God. Let us agree with you. Maybe the Lord will lay the city on you, a family on you, something like that. Let's pray. Watch what God will do. Father, tonight, we come before you. We thank you for the wonderful promises that you have in prayer. We thank you, God, that you created this intimate time. Father, where we bare our hearts and open our mouths and cry out to you. And you are more than ready to answer prayer. God, you've got all the angels. You've got all the gifts. You've got all the fruits. You've got all the things that we need, Father, to answer prayer. And so, Father, as we come before you tonight, we ask, Spirit of God, that you just lay as a blanket over this handful of people tonight. As we hear this great example of prayer and sense from you the answer to those prayers, Father, we thank you that you're a prayer-answering Father. We give you all the glory tonight in Jesus' name.